Here in Proverbs chapter 18, I'd like to begin reading in verse 1 and get down to the verse that I'd like for us to particularly look at this evening. Proverbs, that 18th chapter. My wife and I have a habit of reading a chapter of Proverbs every day together just because of the richness of the book of Proverbs, and we never get tired of it. And Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1, through desire a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Now let me just comment on a few verses. I'm glad that people have a desire to seek things out, ask God for wisdom, and because of it, we have so many wonderful conveniences today, many things that are a blessing, and God's given you and I ability to have a desire for various things, mankind. Verse 2, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Now, folk, we have people today, they call themselves humanists. It's a religion, just as much as any other religion in the land. And they say, whatever I believe, that's right for me. And then whatever you believe, that's right for you. And humanism, and God says, that's foolishness. Yea, they're fools. Verse 3, when the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignominy reproach. That word ignominy means disgrace. And there's a disgraceful way of life that the wicked take. Verse 4, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Folk, we could take words of man's mouth, man's idea, or we can take God's wisdom. Amen? This book. And one is just man's idea about things, and the other's as a flowing brook. It's refreshing. Verse 5, it is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. Don't go there. Don't say, hey, let's put up your dukes. Folk, don't go there in life. You just pray and ask God to give you grace to put up with things that just aren't right. And verse 7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Don't be slothful. Be a hard worker. God says, in all labor, there's profit. Every bit of service you do for the Lord, or even normal chores around home, whatever it is, there's benefit. Let's don't fall into that business of being slothful and so forth. And verse 10, the name of the Lord, and by the way, that word capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Lord, means the self-existent one. Tremendous. Oh, listen, wherever you see it in the Bible, the name of the Lord, that self-existent one, that's the Lord Jesus, is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and a high wall in his own conceit. A lot of times rich people think they can just bulldoze their way through things and get their way because of their money. And God, of course, condemns that. If God doesn't bless, you're not going to be blessed. Verse 12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. Before honor is humility. My, couldn't we learn from that? All of us would like a pat on the back from time to time. But before honor is humility. Let's let God give us that kind of a spirit and be an humble people. Verse 13, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. And now verse 14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? I'd like to just think on that verse tonight and just give you some thoughts. Spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear, title of the message, a wounded spirit. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And we need to just realize that life does deal some hard blows and so forth. But, listen, a wounded spirit, there is something that will destroy you if you don't fight it. And dear friend, that's a wounded spirit. Who can bear it? We need to guard against letting things discourage and dishearten us. And there are several things I want to just bring before us tonight. First of all, don't dwell on disappointments. Don't dwell on disappointments. If you're still in Proverbs chapter 27 over there, and that sixth verse, Proverbs 27 and verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Yes, friends will let you down. There's been times, no doubt, for many that friends have said, hey, you don't have to worry, we'll not let you down. And then when problems arise, they can't be found. And listen, the Lord said he'd fight your battles, yours and my battles. And we really do not expect too much out of people. Please don't expect too much out of people. They're flesh. They're flesh. And by the way, one person said, hey, they disappoint me. Another person said, they surprised me. And listen, go to Psalm 119 with me, please. Psalm 119 over there. Here in Psalm 119, we read down there in verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now think with me, great peace have they which love thy law, that's God's word, and nothing shall offend them. And so thus we take away from that, if we get offended, it's our own fault. If we get offended and take offense at things, it's our own fault. And that's where maybe that little expression, don't make mountains out of molehills, amen? Do not dwell on disappointments. Another thought, do not think evil. 1 Corinthians over there, and verse chapter 13, 1 Corinthians and chapter 13, please. Here in 1 Corinthians and chapter 13, we read in verse 4 and 5, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Do not think evil. Now look at verse 4. Charity suffereth long. That's, we endure injury. And is kind. We're considerate of others. Charity envieth not. We're not discontent. Charity vaunteth not itself. We're not boastful. Is not puffed up. We're not inflated with pride. Verse 5. Doth not behave itself unseemly or improper. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, that's, we're not easily angered, and then thinketh no evil. And so do not think evil. There's been times, no doubt, in your life that two people have been over there talking together, and you and I can say, hey, I think they're talking about me. Well, who in the world do you and I think we are that we're so important they're going to be talking about us? But listen, dear friend, it's easy to think evil and just be one that is going to be easily offended, one that, of course, according to God's word here, that we are going to just have a spirit that is going to just easily be stirred up, and we fall into that trap. And it's not good. Another thought this evening, do not allow yourself to be distressed. You say, well, how in the world can that be in this crazy, stressful world? Do not allow yourself to be distressed. Go to Psalms 18 with me. Psalm 18. Here in Psalm chapter 18. Psalm chapter 18, verse 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and he cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. In my distress, what are you and I to do when stressful things come? We're to call upon the Lord. We're to talk to the Lord about it. Just talk to God about it. You can talk to God about anything. Amen. You can use your common language. But just talk to God when stressful things come up. And now, dear friend, we're talking about this business of you and I not letting things wound us. A wounded spirit, who can bear? And if you and I think that we're going to override God's holy word in that, if you and I go around with a wounded spirit over anything in life, we're losers. We're going to lose ground. And who can bear? Our Lord's saying it won't, you can't handle it. It's going to distract you. It's going to take and pull away strength from yourself and just keep you and I from being our best. And so in my distress, talk to the Lord about it. I like what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. My, we must come to a place where we can say, Lord, I don't understand what's going on, but I believe that you're in charge of my life. I'm your child. And I want to say thank you for what you've allowed. Help me to know how to deal with it. Help me to know how to handle it. And let's learn to give thanks, for in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, a lot of times we have friends, someone might come along, and you've heard about the guy that was complaining, and his friend said, well, it could be worse, and sure enough, it got worse. Oh, listen, dear friend, that's just about the way life goes. But don't give up. Lightning strikes, always strikes the tallest tree. So stand tall, regardless of what goes on in life. You stand up and trust your Lord and Savior. And really, folk, this is good stuff that we need to just, whatever comes along in life, let's talk to God about it. Another thought, do not lose respect for your friends. Do not lose respect for your friends. Back in Proverbs chapter 27, Proverbs chapter 27, please. It's easy to have problems with friends. Do not lose respect for your friends. Proverbs 27 and verse 10. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. Oh my, it's easy to be offended by a friend, but let's don't lose respect for our friends. And you know, in chapter 17 of Proverbs there, and verse 17, we read this. Proverbs 17 and verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. That is, a brother's love is especially seen in adversity. And that ought to be your testimony and mine. Someone has some real problems and trouble. You as a brother or sister in Christ, our love ought to be seen in those adverse conditions that our friends are going through. And so please, do not lose respect for your friends. And there's so much could be said there. Years ago, I had a fellow that needed a little help, and so I had him working on around the church at Good News Baptist Church. And then one Sunday school bus driver on Sunday was pulled over by the police. Well, our van was smoking so bad that he had to pull over, just felt he did. And so he parked it. And I had this fella that wasn't a member of Good News, but he was just a friend of mine, an acquaintance. And so Monday I sent him after that van, and the patrolman stopped him and gave him a ticket for the van smoking so much. But what it was the transmission oil was leaking on the exhaust, and boy, was it smoking. Now, he brought the van back with his ticket, and that day I had him working on the Sunday school bus, and I told him how to adjust the lifters on it. I said, you turn them down on those lifters, you turn that wrench down until you hear it rattle, and then you back it off a quarter of an inch. He got so mad at me, because he was a good mechanic, he threw his tools on the ground and stomped off. Well, his ticket came due, and so naturally there's no way he'd think that I would ever back him after he got so ugly with me. But the day of his ticket, I went down to the courthouse, and I couldn't find a parking spot. And so finally found one, and when I walked into the courtroom, the judge said, does anybody else have anything to say? And I raised my hand, and I said, Judge, that van had an oil leak from the transmission dripping on the exhaust, and that's why it was smoking so much. And the judge said, dismissed. Oh, listen, that fella couldn't believe that I would go and stand up for him. But he's my friend today. The other day, his wife went into eternity. And guess who he texted? It was me. And then yesterday, he phoned me and talking to myself about the only friend he may have on earth. Dear friend, your friend, don't lose respect for your friends. They're going to let you down. Why? Because they're made out of the same mud you and I are, and their flesh. But oh, listen. Now, another thought in this business of you and I coming to a place of realizing that a wounded spirit, who can bear to think you and I are going to be able to shoulder up and get under any kind of a load. God's word says, no, a wounded spirit, it's not going to work for you. It's going to hurt you. It'll hinder. It'll keep you from being real effective in life. And so another thought this good day here is, do not disregard preaching. Do not disregard preaching from God's holy word. Go with me just for a thought there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy over there in chapter 4. We're all familiar with these scriptures, but oh, dear friend, I think as we see this old world going down, 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 and things crumbling underneath, it seems every aspect of life, let's realize that we cannot afford to let it keep us from being effective Christians. In chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And then it says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Oh, listen, God speaks, and we need to listen to preaching. Yes, you know, there's been a time or two in my life when someone in the audience after a Sunday service would come up and say, well, you preached that just for me. And I didn't even know they would be there. And I would be able to pull out my notes and say, no, I made these notes early last week. And preachers don't preach at you, okay? They preach God's word. And let's don't be offended at preaching. Now, another thought, lest we in life get easily offended in our spirit. do not quit your responsibilities in serving Christ. We all know Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And you know what? A lot of times we just say, I just can't physically do it. But you know what? God's word says you have it within you to measure up and do whatever he asks you and me to do. Go to Proverbs 14 for just a thought there. Proverbs chapter 14. Yes, do not quit your responsibilities. We like to quote that verse, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, and we need to just follow through with it. But here in Proverbs 14 and verse 14, it says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. But I want us to look at that last expression in Proverbs 14 and verse 14. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. I take that to say you've got strength in you to rise above adversity. You have strength in you to rise above problems that will come down life's road. And so let's let God really step in and show his hand and his self in our lives. Go to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. You're familiar with this verse. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Here in Isaiah 40 and verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord, once again that self-existent one, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Oh, listen. Let's just wait upon the Lord. Talk to the Lord about things that come down life's road. And just ask God to help us. In other words, let's humble ourselves, lower our pride, and say, Lord, I need help. I need help. And it doesn't matter what aspect in life. It's just, there's a God in heaven who can help you and me. He has a reason for things. Recently, I had a man quote some work for on our home, putting in refrigerated air conditioning. Amen? I got on the roof, and that swamp cooler, I got it all in good shape, climbed off the roof, and it wouldn't run. And so we suffered through the heat for a few weeks, and we had company coming in for a wedding, and so I got my son up there to look at it, and guess what? I had unplugged the motor accidentally. And he got it running. And oh, that was a blessing. And then it quit on us about time company was to come. And he got back up there and the belt had broke. And folk, that's the reason I decided, hey, refrigerated air would be real nice. So I had them come and make a quote there. And then I had some other men come that were supposed to give us a special deal. And they did. Saved us literally about $13,000. Oh, how good God is. And but see, I couldn't find the paperwork of the first quote. And that's ridiculous. The house is only so big. But I couldn't find the paperwork. And after we had this other fella come, which saved us once again right at $12,000-$13,000, I found the paperwork right where I'd filed it, right where it should have been. And so be careful where you file things, folks. I'm warning you. But listen, dear friend, I might have gone with that other company, except God kind of just intervened and slowed me down and so forth. Let's realize that there's a God in heaven who wants us to just serve him and be diligent and trust him and look to him in every aspect of life. And let's humble ourselves. A wounded spirit, who can bear? Another aspect, dear friend, along this line. Do not allow yourself to dislike anyone in your crowd. Let me repeat that. Do not allow yourself to dislike anyone in your crowd. Go to the book of Jude and verse 20, please. Jude and verse 20. Here in the book of Jude, a few verses, you're familiar with them. In verse 20, it says, "But ye beloved," and notice a gracious word there, "ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference." Now, often that verse is used to, we use it in witnessing to people, having compassion and trying to win them to Christ. But we'll talk about that in a moment a little more here. And verse 23 and 4, "And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him," amen, "that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." But back in verse 22, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." Don't allow yourself to dislike anyone in your crowd. Let's have compassion on others, even in our, of some. Yes, the lost crowd, but even how much more so in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's have compassion on one another and love one another and care for one another. "But ye beloved," it started out there, "love the brethren." Like everyone that signs on with us. Amen? And oh, how needy that is. And in closing tonight, I want you to go to 2 Peter chapter 1 with me, please. 2 Peter and chapter 1. Here in 2 Peter and chapter 1, I just express it this way. Do not become uncomfortable with your church. Do not become uncomfortable with your church. And we'll read several verses here. I just want us to think about the privilege to meet together, to fellowship together, to have just good Christian friends. And yes, they're not perfect, but how blessed we are just tonight together and fellowshipping around God's Word, singing hymns together. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have," notice, "obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." Verse 4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue," it's moral excellence, "and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall." Verse 11, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." My, what rich, wonderful promises. Look at verse 4. whereby are giving unto us, that's you and me here tonight, exceeding great and precious promises. Oh, listen, dear friend, God has given you and I exceeding great and precious promises. Why? So that we can rise above this business of letting things that come down life's road wound us and hurt and hinder. And there's been so many people have gone through life, the majority of their Christian life, hey, so-and-so offended me, and they've never gone back to church again. I pray almost daily for a man somehow got offended. His wife, two daughters go to church every Sunday, every time the doors are opened, but he stays home. No excuse. Been offended somehow. Maybe did some work around the church and the pastor didn't pat him on the back. I don't know. But listen, a wounded spirit, who can bear? Dear friend, please, you and I cannot bear up under it. We need to get over it. Like one fellow said, we need to bury the axe. Amen. Let's stand together in closing prayer, please. As we stand together, bow our heads, I'm going to ask a pianist to come, please. And in a moment, I'd like to have a closing word of prayer. Just a few minutes for you and I to think upon the things that God may have spoken to our hearts about. Dear Father in heaven, we do believe your word does speak to hearts. You've said it would not return unto you void. We believe that you love us with an everlasting love, and that you brought us together tonight, and whatever you may have spoken to all of our hearts, would you help us to let you do that work that needs to be done in each one of our hearts. Please, Lord, thank you for this service and this place tonight. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen.